Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. And on today's show, as I mentioned last week, we got a really special show. We have an interview with both Lee Haney and Rich Gaspari. And the topic of our conversation is going to be about 1984, when Lee and Rich trained together. And they were training partners for a whole year. Lee was trying to win his first Mr. Olympia, which he did in the fall of 1984. And Rich was trying to transition from the amateur ranks to the pros, which he did also, because Rich won the light heavyweight class at the NBC Nationals in 1984. And then he went on a week or two later to win the Mr. Universe in Las Vegas, also in the light heavyweight class. And then he got his pro card. And then, of course, Rich started his pro career the next year by taking second place at the Night of the Champions, very successful pro debut. So we have a really, really fun conversation coming up with Lee Haney and Rich Gaspari. And I was very happy they were able to join us. I've been working on this interview for weeks. It was hard to get them both at the same time, but we finally were able to do it. And when we finish that interview, I'm going to read an article. I know I haven't read an article for a while from the magazines. I don't know if you guys like those or not, but I'll do it for the people that do like it. This is from the July 1983 issue of Iron Man magazine, the original Perry Rader magazine, of course. And it's an article about Lee Haney. I thought it would be interesting to read an article about Lee Haney. This was right after Lee won the Mr. Universe in 1982. Right before he started his pro career. And it was written by our friend Gary Bartlett, who we've had on the show. So it'll be interesting to see what they say about Lee, see if they kind of predict what his great pro career will be. Of course, he's probably one of the greatest bodybuilders ever, beating Arnold Schwarzenegger's record with 8 Mr. Olympia wins. And then Ronnie Coleman was able to tie Lee Haney. But Lee and Ronnie have the most Mr. Olympia wins ever. And Lee is a great man, great family man, real gentleman. If you've ever had a chance to meet him, he's 60 years old now and he's in great condition, great shape. And you're going to really love this interview we got coming up with him and Rich Gaspari. Before we get to that, I do want to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number out here in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939. Or if it's easier, you can go to their website, FLAlternativeMeds.com. Again, that's FLAlternativeMeds.com. And if you tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, they will give you a free consultation and they will give you 20% off your first order. All right. So welcome to June. We are now in the month of June. Tomorrow, I'm recording this on the 31st, but tomorrow is June 1st. And we are starting the summer season. I don't know if you guys are back in the gym yet. Out here in Florida, like I said, they opened up the gyms a couple of weeks ago. So I'm starting my mass cycle. You know, I'm with this MP6 workout that I do. I do a power cycle and mass cycle. So my power cycle finished up last week, and I'm going to do a mass cycle this week. So I'm looking forward to that. Use a little bit lighter weights. That power cycle gets pretty challenging when you get toward the end because the weights are so heavy. But I am offering another fitness challenge. I did one in January that went all the way through April. And on April 13th, we announced the winner. So we had 3 winners, first, second, third place. And the winner was Paul Eliota, who is 33 years old. And Paul is from Massachusetts. He is married with 2 kids. And he really got in fantastic condition, got super ripped. Not a big guy, but he looks great in his pictures. So we are going to do another one. On my other website, johnhansenfitness.com, I'm starting it on the middle of June, so in 2 more weeks. So that'll be on June 15th, 2 weeks from today. And it'll go all the way through the summer to Labor Day, which will be September 7th. So 12 full weeks through the summer. And the deal is you just pay for a training and diet program. I'll write it up for you. And then I'm your coach for the next 12 weeks. So every week I check in with you. And I also change your diet and change your training as we go along just to keep you going. That's what I did with Paul Aliota, who won the first one. I was writing out his routine every week, telling him what weights to use. So I was pushing him more and more each week. So the workouts were progressive and it was really getting tough because his body fat was going down really low and he was getting more ripped, but he did it. He pushed himself, held on to that muscle. In fact, his arms, I think, gained a half inch while he was dieting, which is amazing, but he really did a fantastic job. So I've got an article on johnhansonfitness.com about the three winners. So check that out when you get a chance. And I also did an interview with Paul on my YouTube channel. And I've also got a link to that on johnhansonfitness.com. So if you guys are interested in that, you want to get in shape. I know a lot of people were quarantined over this, over 2 months, probably, right? 2.5 months during this coronavirus. So if you're back in a gym or you got access to a gym or you got access to workout equipment and you want to get in shape and you need some incentive, this is the incentive you need. It's only 12 weeks. It'll be the whole summer. But think about it. You're going to get in better shape as the summer progresses. Most people just take the summer off and party and eat whatever they want, and they probably get worse. So this way, even though you won't be in prime shape until Labor Day, you're going to get better each week as the summer progresses, which is really exciting. If you've never really gotten ripped, that's the best part of the whole process. It's hard to stay away from the food, but the best part of the process is watching your body totally transform each week. All right. So our interview last week with Tom Terwilliger and Sean Ray, I thought that went really well. And if you got a chance to go to my YouTube channel, I also put it up on my YouTube channel and I added some videos in there, like Sean Ray's posing routine from the 87 Nationals. I put in Tom Terwilliger's routine from the 89 Olympia. So check that out if you get a chance. I did get some comments. Tom himself made a comment and he said, "This part of the interview was both fun and exhausting. John and I were already talking for almost 90 minutes when Sean called. So naturally, he was invited into the conversation. I've been a fan of Sean Ray since day one. I'm thrilled John was able to find the footage of me interviewing Sean after the Nationals for Fox Sports." Very cool. Yeah, what Tom is talking about is on the video, I put a clip of Tom interviewing Sean Ray at the 87 Nationals, which I didn't even think about when I asked these two guys to be on the show. And then when I was looking for clips from the 87 Nationals, I was like, oh, wow. Tom was the one that interviewed Sean's, and now they're back on the show with me. How many years later? What, 33 years later? 97, 07, 07, no, yeah, 33 years later. They're on the show talking about that, so that was crazy. Brad Allen made a comment. He said, "Stepping up the game with this Zoom action. I love these two interviews. Tom is amazing, and I can't wait to read his new book." And then adding Sean in for round two really made a great show on posing. At times, it felt like I was eavesdropping on a cool conversation with three legends. And then on my YouTube page, I got a few more comments here. Thurston Howell III, Gilligan's Island. Thurston said, "Thanks for this, John. I so miss the great posing and bodybuilding. All four routines now with no thought or effort." Bobby DeMarco said, "What the fuck? Routines are supposed to be fun. What happened? Thank you so much for this, John." Philip Alexis said, "More videos with Sean Ray, please." Sean Stone said, "I'm glad someone else said it. While I love Sergio Jr., I don't think his routine was anything to shout about, and it certainly wasn't memorable nor best poser worthy." And then Crave88 said, "Also, his physique lacks all the things his father was known for, the big chest and that narrow, small waist." Gary Inayuzi said, "I thought the routine was awful." And Samuel Clemens said, "What are you asking for? He has a small waist and nobody had the proportions of his father." Jerry Inuzzi then said, "I'm not a fan of posing routines. Personally, I think you should decide a contest on the comparisons and have the guys hit the mandatory shots. Posing is entertaining for fans. It shouldn't affect the outcome of a bodybuilding contest. Sean makes some very good points. Beckles was embarrassing with that shuffle stuff. I thought Zane was the right blend of presentation, not overdoing it. I'm sorry, but Sean's routines left me bored. Great physique, horrible music, turned me off, but obviously very artistic if that was your thing." And then I replied, I got to disagree with you there, Jerry. I said, the art of posing is what makes bodybuilding so special. It's not really bodybuilding without the posing. And Samuel Clemens said, I absolutely agree with you, John. The greatest, of course, is Ed Corney, which should be mandatory for every competitive bodybuilder. So we did get some comments. I'm glad we were able to do that. I thought that was a really, really good show on posing because I think it is really being neglected in today's bodybuilding scene. So hopefully we can get some of these newer guys coming up to get inspired and do some great routines again like they did back in the 70s and 80s. All right. I think that's all I got, guys, for our opening. So here's our interview with Lee Haney and Rich Gaspari, where they talk about that magical year in 1984 where they both trained together and Lee won the Mr. Olympia and Rich won the Nationals and the Mr. Universe. Here we go. All right. Welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And I have two legends with me today. First, we have Mr. Rich Gaspari. Rich started off his career winning the Junior Nationals at only 20 years old back in 1983, and then he won the MPC Nationals in the light heavyweight class, and then the Mr. Universe in the light heavyweight class in 1984. And then Rich took second in his very first pro show, the Night of the Champions, and then took three consecutive second-place finishes at the Mr. Olympia from 1986 to 1988. And then he won the very first Arnold Classic in 1989. So welcome to the show, Rich. Thanks for joining us.
I did get top three on my first try at the Olympia, too.
Yeah, first three, top three, and I forgot one, 1985, right. Yeah. Okay. And we're also joined by the great Mr. Lee Haney. And Lee started off his career winning the Teenage Mr. America way back in 1979. And then Lee won the Junior Nationals, the very first Junior Nationals that the MPC held in 1982. And then the overall at the 1982 MPC Nationals, and then the Mr. Universe that year. And then Lee went on to win the Night of the Champions in 1983 and took third place at his first Mr. Olympia. And then Lee went on to win his first Mr. Olympia in 1984, and he won eight Mr. Olympias, beating Arnold Schwarzenegger's record. Lee, thanks for joining us also.
Thanks, John. Thanks.
All right, well, I got this idea for doing a podcast with you guys because I know you were training partners in 1984, and I sort of got this idea. I was reading that website, Get Big, and somebody was saying that, Lee, you never squatted over 315. So I texted Rich, and I asked him, he said, hey, Rich, when you and Lee trained together, how much did Lee squat with? And he said he used to do 315 for like 15 to 20 reps. So I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about that year, 1984, because that was really a pivotal year for both of you. Rich, you went on to win the Mr. Universe that year, and then you turned pro. And Lee, you went on to win the Mr. Olympia. So both of you guys had a fantastic year that year. So, Rich, let's start with you. You talked before in interviews about how you really had to change your physique to go from taking fifth place at the Nationals in the heavyweight class and then winning first place as a light heavyweight. So you had to really change the look of your physique, right?
Well, when I won in 1983 the Junior Nationals, I had really strong legs. So, you know, I was able to squat, you know, up to 700 pounds on squats. So what it did, it made my body more, you know, bottom heavy, and I needed more muscle on the top, you know, so when I won the Junior Nationals, I had really big legs, but my shoulders, I didn't look V-tapered because I was kind of like very straight. Mm-hmm. I needed more back. I needed more arms. I needed to like lessen my legs. And when I was training at the Valley, which was the Reseda Gold's gym, I was actually managing that gym. And that gym was an amazing gym because in that gym, there were so many greats in that gym. I mean, besides Lee Haney, you had Albert Beckles, Bertel Fox, Fred Hatfield, Corey Everson, Jeff Everson. You had other champs in there like Sting, the wrestler Sting, who Steve Borden was the manager of the gym. I said Fred Hatfield. A lot of times wrestlers would come in, like Hulk Hogan would come there. So that gym had a lot of just electricity in that gym. It was an amazing gym to train at. And getting to train in that gym, I was wide-eyed, and I wanted to be a champion. And, you know, seeing all these top pros is like, it really motivated me. And don't know, I guess Lee saw something in me because he saw this young kid training like heavy, like an animal. And, you know, he asked me, hey, would you want to be my training partner? And to me, it was an honor because this was a pro. This is a guy who came third in the Mr. Olympia. And I was like, for me, it was a great opportunity to train with, you know, a pro bodybuilder.
Yeah. Now, Lee, you just took third in your first Olympia, your first year as a pro. So what did you feel that you needed to do in that next year to work on your physique to win first place?
Well, you know, with the combination of things, you know, having took third was, you know, that was quite a, that whetted my appetite a great bit. You know, it's nothing like winning.
Yeah.
With all of the other shows that I've won the first time around, you know, the junior national, the national, the NPC, IFBB World Championship, all of that the first time around. So coming into that Olympia having placed third, I noticed that some things that sort of went wrong along the way because I recall peaking at 243 pounds 4 weeks out from the Olympia. Matter of fact, Arnold saw me in the gym, at World's Gym and said to me, he said, Lee, how are you looking this way in this kind of shape 4 weeks out from the Mr. Olympia? And, I just shrugged my shoulders and said, man, I don't know. What he saw that I was peaking.
Yeah.
But because of my lack of knowledge, I didn't know what was going on. I'm thinking, hey, this is just the way it's supposed to be. But what happened, I ended up going into the Olympia 4 weeks later, which took place in Germany. I only weighed 233 pounds.
Mm.
So I had, in fact, lost 10 pounds within that 4 week period of time.
Right.
So I had my notes as to what I did and trying to follow that. So myself and Dr. Fred Hatfield got together and went over the notes. And Fred said simply, Lee, you can't train like a horse and eat like a bird. So I ended up losing size because of not increasing the caloric intake due to the activity level going high. And then the fact that my body fat was always under control year round. So I didn't turn and I didn't carry a lot of body fat. So no need
right
to bottom calories out the way that I did. So we got that right as far as increasing the calories intake. So I went in on probably 1500 calories more, to 2000 calories more than I did for the 83 compared to the 1984.
Okay.
I played 84 and working out at the goals, I ran into Rich. And I saw those hunger and desire and Rich that was very unique. I mean, it's just, you know, listen, when you're, I guess when you're alpha dog, you know another alpha dog when you see one. You know, you don't walk around with his tail stuck between his legs. He's foaming at mouth just like you are. So there's this level of respect that takes place.
Yes.
And that's what happened in the case of me and Rich. I saw how hungry he was. He was very aggressive. And I was like, tell him, he's always been that way. I mean, like, he was like that. So that was, my nature was more calmer. And so, Rich sort of fed me what I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a grit teeth kind of a cat, but he was. So it made for the perfect combination. I was always calming him down. He was always geeking me up.
Right.
Perfect combination.
So when you saw Rich training with these super heavy squats and the heavy weights and everything, did you feel like you needed that in your training to get ready for the Olympia in 84?
Well, not to that extent. What I noticed, and with my training had been more methodical as far as squeezing, concentration, focus, muscle separation, I mimic everything from the workouts to the mental preparation as I could read into the minds of people like Robinson, Arnold, Albert Beckles, Frank Zane. There's always about squeezing the mind and the muscle connection. All of it, I sum up to create a philosophy that told me I didn't need 8 million pounds, and that quality came from time.
Yeah.
And so I always believe in the theory of training to stimulate, not annihilate. So heavyweight was never one of the things that I looked for, because I wasn't what you would call real strong anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And but I also knew that the science of developing a muscle wasn't all about being strong. It was about working the muscle to its fullest and then giving it the right nutrition. That was a philosophy that I used. So I never bulked. I just didn't have the type of body set or the mindset to bulk. And bulk, when you bulk, you can use a lot of weight. But I was always conscious of being conscious of how my body felt. You know, I also knew that you could tear something up. And being injured is not one of the things that I like. So,
yeah,
I was always conscious of that.
So in saying that, like, you know, what Lee really taught me is, like, when he saw me, he saw this young, aggressive kid that wanted to be a champion. But he also saw a kid that was, at that time, I was 255 pounds. Now, Lee Haney was 255 pounds, but he was 255 pounds hard.
Yeah.
I was 255 pound bulk. So he looked at me and he goes, you know what? He goes, Rich, you're big, but you're fat.
I won't say that. I'll let Rich say it.
He said, fat boy, but you know what? It's with love. He goes, you can't hold all that fat. You got to lose that fat. You got to stay a little leaner. And you got to stimulate the muscle. And what Lee taught me, I came from a powerlifting background. The gyms I train at were mostly powerlifting. They didn't have bodybuilders. Lee taught me how to train the muscle. Lee taught me to look at my body and assess it. He goes, your legs are too big. You need more shoulders. Got to build up your arms. And those are the body parts we focused on. Lee focused on his calves, his legs. And we both trained really well. You know, like, we both really pushed each other in a good way. And when I said you call me fat boy, it was all in love. I never took it as an insult, because he wanted the best for me. He basically assessed me and said, listen, you got to lose that. You got to lose that bulk. That bulk's going to do you no good. You can't flex fat. So it's better to get rid of that bulk. And that year I started learning how to eat properly, you know, not going into these bulk cycles, because bulking doesn't work. It's bodybuilders that bulk up and then lose it end up losing muscle anyways.
Yeah.
That year, you know, because the year before I was a heavyweight, I needed to go down to a light heavyweight. I mean, Lee had no limits. I was more careful in how I was eating, because I had to go down into, you know, the light heavyweight category. But what I also had to do is retrain my body to stop training heavy on my legs. Lee and I did a lot of, like, leg press, hack squats. But when we did those, remember, we used to pick up our heels and our toes up.
Squeezing the flex.
Sissy squats. All the things that he taught me was to train the muscle. And like he says, stimulate, don't annihilate. Heavyweights were not something to use. But he was still strong. A lot of times he'd want to school me, and he put on the bench, he put on like 405 and just, you do the, oh, he was strong. But he wanted to be, he showed me how strong he was. But
right.
He always trained with strict form on his flies. It was like Chris Lund, like magic. Everything was perfect on the form. And that really taught me a lot. And that year, how to train, it changed my whole philosophy of training.
Now, Rich, where did you get the idea to go from heavyweight to light heavyweight? Because the year before, you won the overall at the junior nationals. Then you go to the nationals. And that year at the nationals, that was one of the toughest nationals ever. I mean, you're up against Bob Parris, Roy Liedlmeyer, Matt Mendenhall, Mike Christian, and you took fifth, but you were still, I mean, right in the mix. Why did you ever think, I'll just train another year as a heavyweight? Or what made you change your mindset and said, I'm going to go down to light heavyweight?
Well, those guys were a lot taller. I'm 5'8". Those guys were, you know, in almost 6 foot, 5'11". Yeah. They were much bigger guys. And Ed Connors, who basically brought me out to California, goes, you should go down as a light heavyweight. That's more your weight class, you know, hone yourself down. And like I said, is restructure my body. I wasn't worried about training my legs as heavy. I was more worried about making sure that I was capping my delts, developing my back, building my arms. And you know, what Lee taught me is like when I was training a curl, if you're just like swinging your weight up, you're not working your biceps. But if you're strict bringing that up, you're able to squeeze your arms and build your, you know, build your arms. And arms were a tough body part for me. Even I'm like for Lee really built his arms up, training them really strict, you know, with, you know, contraction and extension that I really learned and really honed in on training, you know, that way. So yeah. As a light heavyweight, I felt I had a better chance in getting my pro card than trying to go up against the guys that are going to be I was like 205. So I was going against guys that are 215, 220, 225.
Right.
So it was better just to go down to the light heavies.
Yeah. Now, Lee, when you first approached Rich and you talked about training together, did you guys each talk about, like, you know, you were going to go for the Olympia and Rich was going to go for the Nationals and the Universe?
Yeah, you know, we knew either of us had a vision of what we wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
That was the first thing. And we knew that we had to work hard as a team to get there. And I felt in my heart of heart that Rich would give me everything that he had to assist me in being successful in winning the Olympia. But at the same time, he knew that I was giving him all that I had for him to be successful in winning the NPC Nationals.
Yeah.
So, and man, it was no doubt about it. I mean, we worked our tails off. It wasn't, good gracious, man. It was some crazy training. But we enjoyed every bit of it. We gritted our teeth. We jumped in it. I saw Rich foam at the mouth one time like a mad dog. You know, that's how tough he was. But, and I appreciated all of that, man. That made both of us better. And as a result of that, man, Rich came in victorious at the NPC Nationals, did what people thought he couldn't do, then went on to the World Championship, knocked everything out there, man. And next thing you know, there I was at the Mr. Olympia, and where I had peaked 4 weeks before the 1983, I peaked perfectly at 243 pounds, just as I did 4 weeks before the 1983.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I attribute a lot of that to Rich being there as my training partner. I came in bigger. I came in better. And the cool thing about it, too, he had a very good eye. I respected Rich's opinion. You know, we would train and, you know, pose and say, man, what do you think about this? Does it look good? How you feel about that? What do you think about this pose? You know, although I was more seasoned than he was, I still respected his eye because Rich was really ahead of his time.
Hmm.
That's why he made such a great training partner. He wasn't just your average bodybuilder. You know, I wouldn't hang with an average bodybuilder, period. I would eat him alive.
Right.
Rich had that special thing that was unique.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself.
We went through some workouts that we were ready to like fight each other because I'd be like, you could do one more. He goes, who are you talking to? You're the amateur. I'm
I remember one time we was training. I think we had about 110 pound dumbbell, something doing presses. Maybe 100, I don't know what it was. Rich said, hand me that dumbbell. So not handing you dumbbell. You get your own dumbbell. You're pissing me off. You're pissing me off. I said, well, good. Get pissed off. Rich threw out the dumbbells, knocked out the set. We finished the workout. He said, man, that's the best workout I ever had. And the best about it, killing each other. He said, that's the best workout I ever had. So fun, man.
Like I said, it was such an experience.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I was out there and there was a point where I was living somewhere and I lost like the apartment to live in. And here's what was really special about Lee, you know, I think we're 6 weeks or is it 6 weeks out or 8 weeks out from the Olympia. He offered, I don't know if you're regretting it now, but he offered for me to live in his house with him.
Wow.
He didn't want me to go back to New Jersey. I got to go back to New Jersey. No, you're going to stay here. We're going to train. And then I lived with him and that was fun because now I'm living in his house with his wife, you know, and we were both dieting.
Right.
And we had, I mean, it was like some of the points where I think I was just, you know, cause I was dieting. Maybe I was rude to Shirley. He goes, if you don't apologize to my wife, I'm backing you up. You better apologize. Yeah, Shirley was unbelievable. I mean, she cooked. She was unbelievable. He's a lucky man because.
Yeah, Rich, you know, like I said, you know, all of us have something in common. I love Rich. I love his heart. I love his spirit. And I tell you what, man, I thought if he was going to be second to me three times in a row, I would have never let him at my house. I know, the enemy, you know. But I tell you what, Rich always had that half trigger, man. I mean, he was just, that's what his personality. I mean, I watched Rich in the gym, you know how sometimes you try to work out and some guys get in the way of the gym, right?
Yeah.
They're just bumping along. And Ricardo's, one time this guy got close to the machine, and Rich said, "What are you doing, bum? Get out of the way." I said, "Rich, you can't say that." And I recall this evening, I came in to train that evening, you know, waiting on Rich to get there. I get to the gym. It's this big horde of guys outside. You know, a lot of these guys I've seen in the gym. I mean, this big group of them. And I walk up into the crowd. I say, "Hey, guys, what's going on? We're going to get your training partner this evening." What did he do? "We're going to beat him up." I said, what did you do? "We're sick and tired of the way he talked to people. He's rude and he mean." He's just a kid. "Well, you better talk to him. If not, we're going to get it." I said, "Man, don't hurt him. Let me talk to him. It's going to be okay." And man, Rich never knew about it. He never knew what happened until we was at, Arnold's Rich, and I told that story.
Yeah, you told that story.
I said, "Yeah, that's gonna kill you." He said, "Oh, you serious?" I said, "Yeah, you're gonna be gone, man." I stepped in.
Hey, but nobody wanted to be on one-on-one. You had to take a group of guys.
They had to get the group. You cannot. One person cannot fight an Italian, period. You gotta be a whole group. It's about five or six of them, man. They have muscles too.
Guys.
Crazy. But it was that kind of intensity, the intense personality that Rich has. I'm not gonna say had. He still got it. That's who he is. That's what made him the very best. Rich took very little genetics and did some incredible things with it.
Right.
I mean, life-changing things. He went where a few could ever go. And listen, I'll just say this. One of the most genetically gifted guys I have met in my era was Matt Mendenhall.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Matt looked like the real-life He-Man. He was a real-life cartoon of Matt, of He-Man. But he had all of those genetics, but Rich had very little, no genetics to tell the truth. I met his mom and dad, who was very small people. And my mom, close to 6 foot tall. My dad, close to 6 foot tall. My mom was like 185, you know. So I had all of that gifted with me. But Rich didn't have any of that in his, he just didn't have it.
Right.
So he took the science of training and determination and tenacity and created a physique that was world-changing. World class. So hats off to Rich. He did what they said couldn't be done. Whereby Matt Mendenhall, all the potential in the world, but hey, he didn't have the heart. He didn't have the drive or the determination.
Right.
So you can say so much about genetics. Hard drive and determination will determine where you end up. I don't care what you do, but particularly in athletics, look at Michael Jordan. Hey, he was riding the bench. And went on to be one of the greatest of all time. Rich didn't take no for an answer. That's why I have so much respect for him, and I really love him. And glad he was on my side as my training partner doing my era.
Yeah. Now, when did you guys start training together? Was it in January? Was it the beginning of the year? Did you train all year?
Rich, it seemed like a long time, man. Me and Rich were pounding at it, man. We
started right at the beginning of the year, like you okay. saw. You just got done with your show, you know, the Olympia, and you got your third place. I was already out there in California. I was training there for a little while. I think it was before the year started, because I remember spending Christmas and everything. So we were training, say, right after you got done competing, and I moved out there. So I would say October, November,
from
that time all the way, you know, into the following year.
Now, you know,
And Rich and I, coming up to the Nationals, leading up to the Nationals, 84, and the Nationals, the Olympia for me, 4 weeks out from the show, me and Rich walks into Gold's Gym eating Tofutti ice cream. Tofutti ice cream. Everybody looking like, but guess what? We were already sliced to pieces. All we had to do is tweak. We never had to hurry up and fix our bodies, because the discipline of being in striking distance, watching what we ate, that's what we did. We trained all the time, and we gave our body the proper rest, too. And listen, there was a day, I never will forget, Rich, I don't know if you recall, this one day we went in, man, and we're getting ready to work out, and we looked at each other and said, man, how you feel? I said, I feel like crap. How do you feel? He said, man, I ain't feeling it. I said, let's get out of here. Right. Me and Rich grabbed our bags, went out, got us some food, went home, took a nap, and came back later. You remember that, Rick?
Yeah.
We ain't feeling it, you don't feel it.
Right. That's the thing that Lee taught me is be in tune with your body. A lot of times, you know, you think that you're doing something right because you're going to the gym when your body's telling you not to go to the gym.
Yeah.
When you are really in touch with your body and you know that you shouldn't be training, the best thing to do is to rest, you know, and recover and eat. And that's what we did, because I watched Lee eat, and, you know, because everything he got, he was getting from Fred Hatfield, but I was like a good, you know, listener and learner, and everything he was doing, like you said, I was learning all his secrets, you know, what he did. I learned a lot about, you know, how to diet. I think I came in too light for those shows, you know, for the Nationals. I ended up going into this, you know, the low carbohydrate and then carbing back up, but my body didn't fill up enough. And that's something I learned later on when I turned pro, that it didn't work for me as well. I mean, I know it worked for you, Lee, but when I did that, it seemed to like I started going down too low and I just couldn't eat enough carbs to fill up. My metabolism was so fast, just like yours.
Well, everything in you was fast, Rich. Everything was on. I mean, God, you were like, just like all the time. I think you're just the middle part of you was sucking up calories.
Yeah,
I mean, so, you was better than the ever ready bunny. Always.
We went on the low carb diet. We were carb depleting, and then we're carb loading, and we're on our way to the gym. So I was carb depleting, and I got to a light, and I was so like out of it. So I'm at the light, and then I just start stepping on the gas at the red light. You know, what are you doing? You're gonna kill me. So
yeah, I remember that, man. I'm like, Rich, you just ran the light, man. What's the matter? He was called the pleader on that day, and I'm saying, oh my goodness, he could have killed both of us. That's the last time he ever drive me around called the pleader.
Tell him what happened when you card the pleader.
Oh man, the same way. I'm at the light. I'm driving this time. Because I wouldn't let Rich drive anymore after he did that. I come to a stop at the light. I look at the light. It's red. Then all of a sudden I put my foot down on the gas and ran to the light. I said, oh my goodness. It scared me to death. I said, I'm about to get us killed. So from that point on, I just let Shirley drive us, man. I didn't want to. Rich, but you know, one of the things that was so cool about Rich that I admired a lot, which I nicknamed him the professor, Rich always paid close attention to his nutrition. He was always reading and studying and finding out. He kept his notepad on everything that he ate, which is the reason why he's the head and the founder of Gasparra Nutrition today.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in his zone as to who he is and what he was during his time training as a professional bodybuilder, amateur and professional. That's what Rich has always done. And for me, training has always been my thing, whereby we have the Lee Haney, my International Association of Fitness Science, because training is what I know, it's what I do, as far as fixing a body, fixing the training system.
Right.
So both of us are in our element, and we were able to feed each other with the natural gifts that what we had. We put our two gifts together and made both of us world-class champions.
Yeah. So when you guys started training together at the beginning of the year then, Rich, you needed to come down in weight. So were you already like dieting at the beginning of the year, just slowly coming down? Because Lee had to go up in weight. He was eating, he increased his calories.
Well, what I was doing, I was eating, what was the name of those? There was a place there, Lee, Kevin's Burgers. There was this place with these like 3 pound burgers. I was eating. And then I was eating like a jar of peanut butter. I wanted to get, you know, bigger. And I thought getting bulkier was getting bigger.
Right.
It was just getting fatter. And, you know, Lee goes like, you got to lose a lot of fat. He goes, you got to take off that fat because you're going as a light heavyweight. You better start losing it. So I just slowly, I mean, I'd have to do cardio. Believe it or not, I did very little cardio as a pro. My training intensity was enough. And
did we
do cardio? I don't even think we did cardio.
Did we do any cardio?
Probably not. We trained twice a day. And our training intensity was so intense because we go in there, we do calves in the morning. First thing, first body part, and we would blast calves with, you know, donkey calves, standing calves, seated calves, and we just blast them superset, drop set, high reps, you know, to bring our calves up. And then we train our body parts, you know, and then we come back later on, we go home, take a nap, go back to the gym, train again. And you're saying about losing weight. All I did was cut out the bad food and just ate cleaner.
Okay.
And really didn't do much cardio. I mean, I didn't do any cardio. The training intensity that we had was so, and I always tell people, if you train hard enough,
that is cardio, Rich.
Yeah.
It is cardio.
Yeah.
And, we used to superset, like we had a combination of leg press with hack squats. Remember we said do that combination.
Woo.
That superset, but it was constant tension. Like I said, I didn't stop when the weight went to the top. I went on my toe, off my toes.
Yes.
Squeeze my legs and then come down slow. So it was constant tension the whole time. And then superset doing the same thing on a hack squat. And that really, it put the muscle in another zone.
Mm.
And I just love, you know, training like that with him because I mean, the intensity for me was like, to me, it was like a high training.
Yeah.
And like I said, when we trained together, I was the amateur, he was the pro, and I'd always, you know, cause I'm the young cocky kid, I'm always challenging Lee. Hey, Lee, let's do this. Hey, Lee, let's do that. We challenge each other cause I pushed him cause I go, you're going to win Mr. Olympia or what? Cause that year it was Sergio Livin was making a comeback.
I said,
you're gonna let that guy beat you?
Well, Lee, you used to always train 3 on, 1 off. Did you guys continue doing that workout routine, 3 on, 1 off?
I love that routine, man. That was the best. It gave the body just enough time to recover.
Right.
Without having too much time in between, but it also prevented injuries too. I mean, me and Rich never got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, with some guys, a tweak or something would take place. That never happened with us. We never injured knees or hips or back. That never happened.
Right.
Because a 3 on, 1 was such that the muscles being trained frequently, but you had enough time in between. Let's say, for instance, Monday would be, push-pull. That's, we'd always mix it that way. Biceps and chest and calves, abs, that kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tuesday would be legs. Then you got back and shoulder. Then the fourth day you're off, then you start to cycle over again.
Right.
You know, so it was a very smart way to train without overtraining because during Arnold's day, they would use a straight six. Straight six was a killer. Oh my goodness. Man. But because of the 3 on, 1, it allowed us to be a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
With a little bit more muscle size, a little bit more recovery. And then we didn't get injured. You know, they use a different kind of a deal back then. And then we use a double split. A double split. So we're hitting, you know, the body parts twice a day and the body's producing natural growth hormone twice a day. Mm. So you got a nap going on. That's a 3 growth hormone spikes that the body incurred from 2 from training, then 1 from having a nap during the day.
Yeah.
So that gave the body everything that it needed to grow. And then the science of food. of the protein, carbohydrates, and all the stuff that Rich was great at, we understood that. So that gave us a definite edge. Me with training, Rich with nutrition. So, man, that was a knockout combination.
Did you guys do that double split all year, or did you just do it when you got close to the contest?
No, we did it all the time.
Wow.
That was our job, wasn't it, Rich?
Yes. I started training like that, and it was just part of the, you know, the routine. And, you know, ate six times a day, you know, and train on that 3-on-1-off.
Yeah.
And, you know, we rested on the days that we rested to let our body recover.
Right.
Because we didn't, I mean, we trained so hard that you needed that day off.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. It wasn't like you're training like some guys do. You know, people don't understand, and I see it, and today, the intensity that bodybuilders have are nowhere near the intensity that we have. That intensity, I don't know, you just don't see it.
Right.
I mean, like you said, I was frothing from the mouth. I went there to eat the weights, you know, whatever I could do to defeat that. I went in that gym like that was the last day of my life. That's how I went to the gym.
Yeah.
And like I said, I learned so much because Lee taught me to squeeze the muscle, you know, develop. I learned how to do a side lateral properly because I wasn't doing them right. And, you know, drop the weight, do it right, you know, where I'm pouring two pitchers of water, working the delt. And when I really started training the muscle, you started seeing the changes. Mm. Like I said, whether I didn't have the best genetics, I had the mindset. My genetics was here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I think nobody can have. I said, nobody's going to have my work ethic in the gym.
That's right.
The only problem is when you have the work ethic, the drive, and you got great genetics like Lee, then there's a problem.
Hey, Rich, I'm glad I gave you a little, but. That's it. You were sleeping at my house, you know what I mean? I really took it personal. You waxed me, you know?
But no, just seriously, like I said, it was one of the best times of my life. And I regret one thing. Lee asked me to train for his last Mr. Olympia, and I decided to go to California. But I should have, I said to Lee, you know, I told him recently, I said, man, that last year, I'm going to tell you, out of all the Mr. Olympias, not because he's my friend and I compete against him, Lee is the best Mr. Olympia, 8 Mr. Olympias, because from his first, he was better in his last. A lot of the Olympias that came after him, some of them undeserving, you know, on their last Olympias.
Yeah.
He came in the best shape on his last Olympia.
Yeah, he did.
Better than his first or any of his middle Olympias.
Yeah.
And that's what was really amazing. After 8 Olympias that the guy improved. And I don't know, Lee, you came in like 8 pounds bigger, 10 pounds bigger on that last Olympia.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, what I found on that last one, Rich, you know, you weren't with me for, you know, the several of the other ones, but I sort of went a little bit overboard the last 6 weeks, you know, because you always think, well, look, when you're on the top, ain't nowhere to go but down.
Yeah.
So what can I do to make myself better? So I increased the intensity, and I went from the 3-on-1 the last 5 to 6 weeks to a straight 6. Mistake. I overtrained.
Yeah.
Last Olympia, I stayed on the 3-on-1 all the way through. Intensity level was just as high. The body had more time to recover. The muscle stayed fuller. And it felt to me like the easiest one that I ever trained for.
Hmm.
I wasn't burnt out as I was for the last previous Olympics, because the last week and a half, my legs always lagged behind. I said, God, I hope my cuts come in because they were so fatigued.
Yeah.
So life didn't come back in until like the doggone morning of the show. So I was worried about that every time.
Yeah.
For the last Olympia, everything stayed full and pumped the entire time because I was using the 3-on-1. And I said, well, finally figured it out, but guess what? I'm out of here. I'm going. I'm out of here. Last set, best set. Man.
Mm-hmm. Rich, when you were getting ready for that Nationals, you were up against a whole new group of competitors. Were you worried about anybody? Were you thinking about anybody? Or were you just more concerned with yourself?
I never worried about any competitors when I competed. I always wanted to be the best that I could be. That's another thing. I had a mindset of always going into the show being the best that I could be. I didn't even know who the light heavyweight guys were when
right.
I competed. I mean, there was a guy that came second like 3 years in a row. It was Moses Maldonado.
Yeah.
Was the guy. So I was going against him. I knew a little bit about him, and there was a whole array of different light heavyweight guys that I was going against. Here's something. I peaked a little earlier for that show, and I ended up being a little lighter. I mean, that light heavyweight class is at 198. I competed at 188 in the national.
Wow.
I went into that show. I mean, I was shredded, and the problem was, like I said, it was a little flat. I went into that show and I won the Nationals. Only competitor, I think Jim Mannion said, you won the Nationals on straight seconds. Straight seconds. And all the other competitors got first, third, fourth, first.
Right.
Because I won straight seconds. No first straight seconds. I won by points.
Yeah.
That's how I won. So I went into the universe. I went back to California with Lee. I had to eat up more because I said I got too light. So I gained another about 5 pounds for that show. So I was more into the early 190s.
Yeah.
And then I had to go against this big monster from Germany called Gromulus.
Yeah.
Joseph Gromulus.
Oh, yeah.
Against that guy, he was favored to win the universe. And he was one of Albert Busack's guys. So everyone's there going, Gromulus. And then at the end, you know, I won the show, and you can see Busack's face was like,
yeah. But, yeah, I think you won that during the post down too, didn't you, Rich? I remember them saying.
I beat him in the
final round.
I beat him in the final round that I beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, it was like, it was tough because that guy was, I mean, he was
massive. Right.
Woo! But I did have better symmetry shape, you know, I was like more aesthetic.
He was
a big guy.
Yeah.
So.
What about you, Lee, when you're getting into that, 84 Olympia, McAway and Samir beat you the year before. Were you focused on them? And then, like Rich said, you had Sergio going in it too. Were you thinking about anybody else?
You know, something like Rich's mindset was he never worried about anybody else. That was always my mindset too. That's why we worked so well together.
Yeah.
I never worried about the competition. My whole deal was if I could be the very best that I can be, bringing the best combination of mass, quality, symmetry, presentation, if I can put all of it together, then that's an unstoppable force. You know, and that's what I did. I never worried about anything. It's funny, man. Me and Samir was one day, we were doing a photo shoot at World's Gym. Mike Niveau was doing the shoot. I was working on my book, Totally Awesome, which I've just finished up Totally Awesome for the third edition of it. And, Samir was almost in the background while we was doing the shot with Cable Cross. And I said, Samir, you don't want to get in the way of this picture. If you do, you're going to show up and it's going to look real bad for you. You're not going to look good at all. Of course, I was messing with him, you know.
Right.
I was messing with him. Samir said, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, okay now. You know, but and I know Samir, man, he looks fantastic, man. You're talking about a presenter. His posing was off the chain.
Right.
I knew I had to come in there with something special in order to compete on that level, you know, because of physique. I knew if I could hold my peak at 243 as I was the previous year, then body-wise, I had it. But the only thing that I had to make sure that was on a whole nother level was the posing.
Yeah.
And that was told to me by Arnold in Germany after placing third in the first Olympia. Arnold said to me, after me and Shirley was sitting back in the after party there at Albert Busack's gym, for the 1983 Olympia, he said, Lee, he said, physically, you look great. And I mean, at 233 pounds and placing third, it wasn't bad for the Olympia, you know, which Rich was able to duplicate that himself too. So I wasn't the only one to do that. He did it himself too. But he said, Lee, you look great, but on this level, your posing presentation has to be much more polished. And he said to me, he said, Lee, when we get back to California, I'm going to introduce you to my posing coach. He said, so you meet her, the two of you get together, discuss whatever it is you're going to do. But I grant you, once you get your posing routine down and able to transition as a big guy should, you'll be Mr. Olympia. I was there in California after we got back into town. I met with Arnold's posing coach. She helped me, and the rest was history.
Yeah.
I walked into that 1984 Olympia. I was ready. I was fully confident. I knew my physique was there. I was ready. You know, I was victorious there.
I'm glad you mentioned that posing routine, Lee, because a lot of people who never saw that routine, that was an amazing routine. You came out, you did two songs, and then you came down and you did that lunging pose and you held your arms out and you held it for a long time, like a minute. And I think a lot of the audience thought it was over. And then you came up and then you posed to Excalibur, right? Wow. And you told me that you were inspired by that movie because you wanted to show that a new king was coming.
There you go. And that was it, man. Excalibur. I love that.
Yeah.
And, it proved it, man. You know, there was a new king there and I was, you know, hey man, I was blessed with that. So, golly, man.
The whole time, I knew Lee was going to win that Olympia.
And you were there, right, Rich? You were at the show.
I was at the show. He stayed at my parents' house.
Oh, really?
I was in New York.
Oh, okay.
So, cause his show was after my show. You know, I said, Lee, I know you want to stay in a hotel. Why don't you stay in a house? We have food.
Right.
A limo driver to drive you to New York.
Right.
So he stayed at my house with my parents and my two little parents, you know, two little mother and father. I go, I mean, they loved him because, you know, they saw they took care of their son.
Yeah.
That was real special, man. Rich, I mean, they had everything laid out for me too, man. I mean, you know, me and Rich got some beautiful history, man. His parents were just so beautiful. His brothers. I mean, it was off the chain, man. I didn't have to worry about a thing. Mm. And so I did my last minute prep right there at Rich's home. So his mom and dad and his family shared in my winning the Mr. Olympia in 1984. They sure definitely got that.
I was telling my parents, you can't screw this guy up. You know, it's funny at the universe, you know, when my hand was held, it was the first time I met Joe Weider, and Joe Weider goes, you know, you have a special invite to the Mr. Olympia. I said, I ain't going to the Mr. Olympia. I got my training partner to help.
Man, I didn't know that, Rich. I appreciate that, man.
He goes, you're going to go in. And first of all, I ain't ready for the Olympia because I want to be ready to go on that show. And I'm helping my training partner. He goes, who's your training partner? I go, Lee Haney. He goes, Lee Haney.
Wow. And you helped Lee oil up, right, Rich, at the show?
Yeah. When I was backstage, I was backstage with Lee, and I remember oiling him up, and I'm looking at the other competitors, and I see Muhammad Mukawe, and I'm still looking at Lee, and I'm oiling up his back, and I go, a damn hay got stuck in his back. And I look at him, and then Louie looks like he goes, how do I look? And I just go like, you got this show. You got this show. Cause I saw, you know, I don't know if we were worried about Sergio Livingston. We were thinking about like, what's he going to look like?
Everybody was.
And when we saw him, I go, Lee, he ain't nothing. Don't worry about it. He ain't nothing. I mean, with all due respect, you know, he's a great champion, but he was past his era.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at Samir Banute. I was looking at Muhammad Mukawe, who looked really good in that show. I was surprised, but he wasn't no near as Lee was. Yosef Wilkosh looked good.
Yeah. He was in shape.
He looked good. I said, man, he's in shape, but he ain't got Lee's back. He's not got, you know, he'll have what Lee has, that small waist. Lee had that little waist and that wide back that really was unbeatable for his time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll let you guys go. I know you're both really busy. Lee, you want to talk about your book that just came out, the third edition?
Yeah, man. You know what? As I was saying, when me and Rich finished up the show, man, I rushed back and began work on my book. Totally Awesome.
Yeah.
And in Totally Awesome, man, the same training that me and Rich use getting ready for the Olympia and so forth is written in it. We talk about the on three, off one, the different kind of training systems. I even talk about the straight six, when to and when not to. Straight six is on and made for y'all fat boys. You need a straight six. Keep the fat down, you'll never need a straight six. Then we talk about training principles. There's some shots to me and Rich in here training together. So this book is everything as it relates to you getting ready and get a very good education for the right training, proper training.
Yeah.
If you guys know, you watch me and Rich on the YouTube and as we're doing the different things, man, you do not see us hobbling around injured. Why? Because of correct training. Both of us are healthy. I'm 60. Rich is in his 50s. None of us has been hurt or injured because of right training. So, guys, you can go to LeeHaney.com, and you can order my book. And if you order, if you say, listen, I've heard this on John's show, Legendary Bodybuilding, guess what? You get a free 8x10 with it.
Wow. Yeah, this all right.
Is a third edition of Totally Awesome with new stuff in it, too. It's okay. The other way to get there.
Right. I read the book, John. It's a great book, and it brought back a lot of, you know, the memories. And like I said, Lee is, like he called me the scientist with nutrition, but he's the scientist with training.
Yeah.
You know, he really knows how to train the body through, you know, proper biomechanics and, you know, hitting that muscle and making that, you know, and making that muscle grow, contract, you know, expand. You learn that from Lee.
Yeah.
And that's something that I said. You know, I got the personal experience to learn all that, but you can read that book and learn a lot.
It really changed your career, right, Rich?
He changed my career, like I said. Like what he taught me is later on, I came up with my own methods.
He tried to kill me.
But I told you, anytime I came second to Lee, I go, you know, Lee, I know the only way I'm going to beat you is if you screw up. Right there behind you.
That's right. He never would go, but I nicknamed Rich the Itch. And he was always somewhere on me.
And Rich, but like I said, I had the greatest respect as a second place bodybuilder to who I call the greatest bodybuilder who ever lived. You know, like I said, he's a guy who's retired, undefeated, with 8 Mr. Olympias, and It's like I said, what he did is something incredible.
Yeah. And Rich, happy birthday too. You just had a birthday last week.
Yeah. I'm catching up to Lee.
Yeah.
I'm catching up.
Hey, Rich, you still pretty though, man. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You got hair too. I'm jealous, man. Yeah. If I had a little bit of Italian in there, I probably would have some hair. I got none. Oh, brother, all the way, man.
Rich, tell us about your podcast. You just started a podcast with John Rolano.
I just started a podcast called Fitness, Fame, and Fortune. Basically, I have all different types of people that are in the fitness field that have been able to pivot from being an athlete or someone that's used fitness into becoming famous and then using that to monetize and make money. So I've had some really good guests. You know, I had Mark Bell. I had C.T. Fletcher. I had Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, really?
I definitely have Lee on the show, but it's showing that you have something after, you know, your athletic endeavors. There's so many athletes that, go from being an athlete and then from there, just not doing anything. And what me and Lee have is something. If you have the drive, the intensity, you know, the passion, the dedication, you can do anything. And that's what I found out. I developed a company that was global, you know, that made multi-millions of dollars because, you know, it's not just physical. What you can do here, you know, you can do so much. You know, the world right. is yours. And there's so many guys that I'm getting to interview that have been able to make that pivot and be successful. And it's really fun to listen to them, and they all have something that in common. They all have that drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard the show. It's really good. I've listened to a few of the podcasts already.
Thank you.
And your Gaspari Nutrition is, you have a new line of immune supplements.
Yeah, right? Well, because of what's going on here, we came up with some immune boosting products. You know, I came up with a really healthy organic greens and reds. It's actually five products in one. It's greens, reds, probiotics, fiber, and then anti-inflammatory ingredients like ginger, turmeric, green tea. So we came up with a product. And then I came up with an immunity product with an ingredient called beta-glutin, which was used by AIDS patients to help their immune systems because it strengthens your white blood cells. But it also contains vitamin C, vitamin D, you know, and zinc, which when you take them together synergistically, they help the immune system boost. We have elderberry. We have products that I say are for health, because you can be, you know, you can build all the muscle, but if you don't have health, you don't really have anything.
Right.
And what's coming soon, the next brand I'm developing is an anti-aging brand. So I'm going to be starting that hopefully by the end of the summer. I'll have Gasparri Ageless, which will be an anti-aging brand for guys mid-40s and on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm excited about developing that.
Okay. All right, well, I want to thank you guys, Lee and Rich. This was a great interview. I was really looking forward to it. You guys are both guys I looked up to in the 80s. So it was great having you guys on to talk about that magical year in 1984 when it was really a great year for both of you. So thank you both for joining us on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Okay, thanks, John. And I want to make sure that let people know that as I said, we're totally awesome. They can go to LeeHaney.com and get the book.
Yeah.
Also, check out my website as it relates to the International Association of Fitness Science, because the science of training is extremely important whether you want to be successful in the sport of bodybuilding or if you want to get into functional training. As Rich said, you want to take all of this hard work and discipline and turn it into some type of economy. That's what it's all about. You can't eat COVID. I don't care how many you got. So let's go to the certification program. You can learn some things there. We just created a whole brand new website. And we got it set up now that anybody that wants knowledge can become an associate member of the International Association of Fitness Science. Even if you don't want to be certified on that, you can still get the same knowledge and still learn and know what you're doing as it relates to training other clients or training yourself. So you can go to LeeHaney.com, find all of those links, and get there.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, thank you, Lee. Thank you, Rich. And hope you guys stay safe during this craziness. And thanks again for joining me on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast.
Thanks, John. Love you, Rich.
Thank you. Love you too, Lee.
All right, Big John. Take care, brother.
Take care, guys. All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank Lee Haney and Rich Gasparri for joining us. I know they're both very busy, so I'm glad they were able to get together and join us. And I want to do more Zoom interviews because it makes it so easy to do that. Next week, we should have an interview with Walter van de Breiden. And I think I told you about Walter before. He was an IFBB judge at some of those early 1980 Mr. Olympia contests. So this should be really interesting. And I'll be talking to Walter this week. So we should have that interview up for you next week. And also, I want to thank our Patreon donors. You guys are really helping out every month. And this week, I'm going to send you guys a little clip from the Lee Haney, Rich Gasparri interview. You guys will be the only ones that will be able to hear this, just as a little thank you for me for supporting our Bodybuilding Legends podcast. If you're interested in being a Patreon donor, just go to the bodybuildinglegendshow.com website. And on the upper right-hand corner, you will see the Patreon link, and you can just donate as little as $5 a month if you like. And I really appreciate all of you who do that because it really does help keep the show going. All right. So before we go, I want to read this article, which was in the Iron Man issue of July 1983. And this is about Lee Haney, world champion. It's written by Gary Bartlett. And this was when Lee first hit the scene, winning the Nationals and then the Mr. Universe, and was really starting to create a scene on the pro level. It says, the American amateur bodybuilding scene is as vast as the ocean. I mean, year after year, we always seem to find a new star from this endless reservoir of natural talent. I don't know how many times some unknown has come out of nowhere to knock off the established favorite. Usually this unknown has never been heard of until only months before the American Championships. How well we remember the shock of newcomer Tim Belknap wiping out everyone at the 81 America. This was his first attempt at the title, while many of his fellow competitors have been there for at least five times or more.
Just when we figured out that Tim would be the man in 82, out of nowhere appears massive Lee Haney to play the spoiler. At the 82 NPC American Championships, Belknap would compete in the pose down to earn a place on the American team going to Belgium. It seems that Belknap felt that he would easily represent the U.S. in the heavyweight class. Unfortunately for Tim, Lee Haney had plans of his own for the World Championship ticket. Not only did Haney win the overall American Championships, but he went all the way to Belgium, and he took the World Heavyweight Bodybuilding Championship as well. This is a spectacular showing for a man up until only a year ago was unheard of on the national bodybuilding scene. In fact, my friend, photographer Chris Lund, confessed to me that he had never really noticed Haney until the last minute while covering the America. Obviously, the lack of publicity did not seem to hinder Haney's victories. One could say that this is an indication of just how fantastic Haney really was. He defeated everyone without so much as a photo in any of the muscle magazines before the America. I have a feeling that we will see plenty of Haney in the coming year. At the World Championships last fall at Belgium, I was so impressed with the physique of Haney that I just had to find out more about this monster. It seems that Lee is that rare breed of man who happened to select the right parents. He informed me that his mother stands 6 feet tall, weighing 185 pounds, which would indicate to me why Lee is such a gentleman while being interviewed. His mother's size may well have been responsible for his good manners. Lee also stated that his father was also very muscular with perfect calves and thighs. Certainly, this combination of superior genetics could easily result in a Mr. Universe physique. It would not take long for Haney's superior genes to manifest themselves in solid muscle gains. At the age of only 22, Lee has been seriously training for 4 years with a one-year layoff in between. Playing football in high school got him interested in pumping iron. At 17, he would train with weights during the off-season. During his first year of playing, he suffered a leg injury on the left side. This kept him from any more football games, but he was still able to go into the weight room and train. Unfortunately for Lee, his next year of football would again be hindered by another leg injury, only this time it was the other side. Once again, he had to retire to the weight room, but this time for good. Feeling that perhaps football was not the sport for him, Lee began concentrating on pure bodybuilding. In the beginning, Lee was not overly big, weighing only 150 pounds, but he was quite wiry and lean with an ideal bone structure. As stated earlier, in the 4 years of training, Lee had to take a full year layoff to have wrist surgery. In this time, his weight dropped to 200 pounds, and he lost a lot of density and hardness. After this layoff, he once again started training early in 82, which is remarkable considering that he won everything with this limited amount of training. Today, Lee stands 5'11", and he weighs a ripped 230 pounds off-season. His weight climbs to 260. In his first contest, which was the 79 Teenage Mr. America, he won at the age of 19, weighing 206 pounds. He confessed that in his first 2 years of training, his weight went from 150 to 215. Nature was extremely generous to Lee Haney. It seems that almost every workout resulted in new growth. Lee is one of those fortunate people who is making a living at what he loves doing. He's the co-owner of two fitness centers in Carolina where he instructs and manages. With the present popularity in bodybuilding, both gyms in North and South Carolina are doing very well. Lee feels that this is partly because of the tremendous interest in women's bodybuilding. Many of his members are women. Lee's training has always been basic with plenty of squats, rowing, bench presses, and curls. He feels that the muscle is built with strength, which means plenty of weight and low reps. Seldom does he ever go over 8 repetitions, but everything is done in strict form. In all body parts, a heavy basic exercise is performed in sets of 6 reps. Then a couple additional exercises are added, emphasizing building shape in the muscle. His strength is unbelievable, going as high as 490 to 500 pounds for 5 reps in the bench press. Wow. Haney's off-season training is made up of 3 days on and 1 day off. Every body part is worked in this 3-day cycle. Owning a gym certainly has its advantages, giving Lee the opportunity to train whenever he wishes. He usually splits up his workouts into 2 daily sessions. On Monday morning, chest, triceps, and calves are trained. His afternoon workout is around 6:30, where shoulders and abs are worked. If a contest was close, Lee would come back around 9 and do more abs and bike riding to burn fat. This really helps to bring out the deep cuts. Lee's Tuesday workout usually consisted of training the legs alone. At the finish of his leg workout, he would do ab work. His Wednesday workout would be divided into 2 sessions, much like Monday. The morning workout consisted of biceps and calves, with abs and back trained in the evening. On the fourth training day, Lee would go for the run. He would usually jog 1 to 1.5 miles, finishing with a lot of ab work. This would be his rest day with the entire cycle repeated on day 5. For the larger muscle groups, such as chest, back, shoulders, and legs, Lee favors 13 to 15 sets per body part. I was surprised to hear that he only does 2 exercises for triceps and biceps, only 3 to 4 sets each. For his back, he'll pick heavy movements like barbell rowing, cable rowing, and pull-downs and do 4 sets of 5 reps. I found it amazing that a man with the back development like Haney could get results doing only 5 reps per set. However, Lee revealed that he used extremely heavy weights, and he found this was the best for him. Certainly, when one sees Lee perform his famous yard-wide lat spread, all doubt as to the effectiveness of this routine vanishes. His chest and shoulders are trained much like the back, usually with 3 basic movements for 3 or 4 sets of 5 to 8 reps. Chest would be bench presses, incline presses, and incline dumbbell presses for 4 sets. You probably meant to say incline flies. For 4 sets of 6 to 8 reps. Shoulders were always started with 4 sets of behind-the-neck presses, followed by standing dumbbell laterals and rear laterals. His legs were trained with squats, leg extensions, and curls. For calves, Lee's favorite movement was standing toe raises off a block with heavy barbell across the shoulders. I must say it was a great pleasure talking with world champion Lee Haney. He certainly is a credit to our sport, and he should provide an excellent addition to our pro ranks. Certainly in such a short period of training behind him, he could be one of our top pros in a couple of years. He certainly has it all that is needed: wide shoulders and back, large arms, tiny waist, full thighs, and perfect diamond-shaped calves. Lee really has no glaring weaknesses except for perhaps his lack of contest experience. However, this did not seem to hurt him in 82 as he swept past everyone. Upon first seeing Haney, I was reminded of a young version of Sergio Oliva. With added mass and muscle maturity, Lee could someday rival the myth. Until that day, Lee is busy running his gyms while training intensely, getting ready for his pro debut, which may have a lot of present champions considering early retirement. One thing for sure, the boys will have to move over and make plenty of room for the Herculean Lee Haney. All right. Thanks to Gary Bartlett for that article. That was really good. Gives you some good insight into Lee's early training. I knew he trained heavy with the basic compound movements, and I knew I remember reading that, and that was the article I must have read. Again, great interview today with Lee Haney and Rich Gaspari. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we will be back next week with another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Stay safe out there, everybody. Keep going with your workouts. Check out johnhansonfitness.com when you get a chance, and we'll see you next week. Take care.